Good morning, everyone. You know, my heart is just overflowing with joy this morning because God has been so merciful to me. I remember when I was lost in my sin, without any help, without any hope. And he, in his mercy, came looking for me. And he rescued me from my despair. And I'm so thankful to him this morning. One of these days, I'm going to be able to tell him in person. Amen. Face to face. Please. How one day my blinded eyes were made to see. I was dead in sin, but to me life was given. When I could not go to him, he came to me.
By the name of Mark Smith. I don't know if there's any relation to Bob or not. He's pastor of a Baptist church in a place called Bloomington, Illinois. Doing a great work for the Lord up there too, I might add. And I was reading after him here a while back and ran across an illustration that he used that I really liked. Actually, it was a personal experience that he had, because Brother Smith had gone to the grocery store for his wife. She ran out of you know, something, and he went to the store to get it. And so he's kind of like I am. If my wife sends me to the store for a loaf of bread, I go into the store and I buy a loaf of bread, and I come up to the cashier and I pay for it and bring it home. Now, if my wife goes to the store for a loaf of bread, I think I'll quit right there. Anyway, she likes to pick up a lot of accessories to go with it, you know. Well, Brother Smith said that he was standing in line behind a young mother who had a whole grocery cart piled up with groceries. And she was taking these out one at a time and putting them on that conveyor belt that goes up there to the cashier. And when it was all over, he said her bill came to over $70. That's kind of getting out cheap, isn't it, out of the grocery store? But that's back in Illinois. Then she began handing the cashier a whole bunch of little slips of paper like this. And that cashier was dinging, dinging, dinging. And the first thing you know, he lowered her grocery bill from over $70 down to less than $18. And she was so happy. I'm sure that most of you use coupons one time or another. They really do save you a lot of money. And so they come in handy. They also remind you of a lot of things you would like to have that normally if you didn't have a coupon you probably wouldn't buy. See? Now all these coupons, all that they did was offer a promise. I'm sure you know how it works. There's several different companies that offer these coupons, and they are promises to the grocery store that the debt for the purchased items would be discounted and paid for by them rather than the customer. And Brother Gene's nodding his head back there because he's been in that business. He knows what it's about. And this young lady, with a handful of coupons, simply believed what those coupons promised. She had faith in those coupons. If the coupon said a dollar off for the purchase of a jar of pickles, she expected that cashier to knock a dollar off of the price of that jar of pickles that she had in her basket. And then Brother Smith said, I had to pay full price. I didn't have a coupon. I thought that was cute. Now there's a sermon in that somewhere, and I think we have it here in John 3:36. Look at this verse in the Bible. He that believeth on the Son, that's Jesus, the Son of God, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Did you ever wonder why some people go to heaven when they die and others go to hell? It's simple. Some people believe, and they use the promises that Jesus has made to us. Amen. Others don't. But I want you to think about this. This preacher was there, and he was shopping at the same shopping center, same grocery store as this lady was. She got a discount. He didn't. He had to pay full price. Now, he believed in coupons. And he knew that if he had had a coupon that said a dollar off for whatever it was that he bought, that the cashier would have deducted a dollar off of the price of that item. He knew the coupons were good. He believed that the promise was reliable. He had seen these in the newspaper. He got the same one that you did, the Money Saver or Penny Saver or whatever it is that comes out, just full of coupons. Money Savers. He believed that if he had had these coupons, that he could have bought stuff at a discounted price. He believed the promise was reliable, but he did not get his scissors and sit down and cut out those coupons and take them to the grocery store with him when he went. He failed to personally use them, so they did not benefit him at all. I believe there are a lot of people in our country today who sincerely believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On many levels. I believe that they believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They believe that Jesus is God's only begotten Son. They believe that He died on the cross of Calvary. They believe that He died for the sins of the world. They believe that He rose from the dead the third day. They believe that He can forgive sin. They believe in heaven and in hell. And they want to go to heaven when they die. They know about His promise to forgive sin. And you would think that with all of that knowledge, they would be saved. I can look at the TV guide and know that at 9 o'clock, gun smoke comes on or whatever. But if I don't go in the TV room and turn the TV on the right channel, I'm going to miss it. Right? They could run it straight through. And if my television's not on, I'm going to miss it. These people know about Jesus. And yet they have failed to claim and to take advantage of Jesus' promise to give them eternal, everlasting life. I'm afraid there are a lot of people today who go to church and maybe even call themselves Christians who have never opened their heart's door and let Jesus come in. They failed to take Him up on His offer. They didn't cut out the coupon and take it to the grocery store. They failed to personally use His promise to pay their sin debt. Why? Well, a lot of these people, I think, simply do not believe that God will eventually punish sinners. or else they believe that they're really not bad enough to deserve punishment, much less the everlasting kind. You know what I mean? Even though the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's not one that doeth good, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die, and on and on. And some people think that by knowing the story of Jesus dying on the cross is belief enough. The Bible says it. These are the words of Jesus, by the way. Even the demons believe and tremble. They're not saved, and yet they believe. They'll not be in heaven. There are many people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they fail to accept Him as the Son of God and the Savior of their soul. It bothers me. Many people want forgiveness of their sins, but they don't want to repent. They don't want to repent. They don't want to turn from their sinful practices, even though it's absolutely necessary to do so if they're ever going to be saved, because God says, except you repent, ye shall surely perish. Repentance. We think that that's for the heathen. It's not for us civilized people. I remember a time when the Apostle Paul, when he was a prisoner of war in jail at Caesarea, was brought out of his prison cell to be examined by King Herod Agrippa, accompanied by the governor Porcius Festus. And Paul, in his bonds, stood before these two majestic individuals and gave his conversion testimony to defend himself against the accusations of the Jews. And in the course of his testimony, he repeated the commission that Jesus had given him on the road to Damascus. And he said, and this is in Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 18. I want to read it to you. This is what the Lord had said to him on the road. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, as he's preaching to these two august men, he turns to Herod Agrippa in verse 27 and passionately implores this king, saying, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. conviction answered and said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And somebody wrote a song, it's in our hymn books, called Almost Persuaded, and it's based upon King Agrippa there in Caesarea as he addresses the Apostle Paul, who is trying to get him saved. Paul said, I know you believe. And he did believe, but he never accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And he didn't. And then he said in verse 26, he had just said this to Governor Festus, and he says to him, the king knoweth of these things. You know these things. You've just never repented and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See? That's what he's talking about. You know them. You know the Bible. You know that Jesus is the Son of God. You know that he died on the cross. You know he was buried. You know that he rose from the dead, that he ascended back to heaven, and that one day he's coming again, but you don't do anything about it. You don't do anything about it. God is saying here that in order to get your eyes opened and to receive forgiveness of sins, there is a turning that is involved. Turning from darkness to light, turning from the power of Satan unto God, and this turning is called repentance. That is faith in me, is what God says about it. Now, I want you to know that there's only one promissory note or coupon in the Bible that offers salvation. This one is good for cereal. This one is good for meat. This one is good for candy. This one is good for something else. See? But there's only one coupon that's good for salvation. One and only one offers salvation from sin. Now, if I have a coupon here, this one says, save $1.50. If I go down to Vaughn's grocery store and get the article that's advertised here, take it to the cashier. If that is marked $2, I can get it for 50 cents. And this coupon that's worth $1.50. I can't go back there and pick up a gallon of milk and take it up there and put it on the conveyor belt and give the cashier this promissory note for $1.50. He'll say, no! That coupon is for something else. You can't buy milk with it. I say, well, for it to you then, I'll go over here to Ralph's. So I go over there to Ralph's. And I go up there to him and I say, I got a coupon here for $1.50. He says, that coupon's good at Vaughn's. And he won't take it. But it's still good. It hasn't expired yet. He says, I don't care. There's only one place that you can take this coupon and redeem it. That's at Vaughn's grocery store. Now, God's coupon for free salvation is that is powerful enough to cleanse you from all of your sin and turn you from your darkness and free you from Satan's bondage and power. God's ticket to salvation. God's coupon. Jesus died. He died for our sins. He was buried. His body was placed in Joseph's new tomb by Joseph and Nicodemus. He was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. He rose from the dead. That's called resurrection. And he showed himself alive for 40 days with many infallible proofs and was seen of many before he ascended back to heaven from Mount Olivet, saying, "I will come again." You have a coupon promise from God. He offers you freedom, bondage from bondage and servitude and the punishment of sin. Listen to his own words. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's his promise. That's his coupon. I feel kind of ridiculous and silly about telling you about it again, because you already know it. You already know this. But point I'm trying to make is that you must personally use his promise. Look what he's done for you already. If sin has condemned our immortal soul, Satan has locked us in the closet of spiritual darkness. Sin has put us under God's wrath instead of his blessings, because he says, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." If you will turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will place your faith and your trust in what Jesus has done for you when he died on the cross of Calvary and rose again from the grave the third day, here's what he says: "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Cash in your coupon. You say you believe it. If you do, then accept it. Claim it. Act on it. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 that God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, about Jesus, and it says, "He, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree." Use your coupon. Both heaven and hell are eternal places. You can't take your coupon to Satan and say, "I want to redeem this promise." He'll say to you, "Fella, you're in the wrong store." Both heaven and hell are eternal places, and whichever one you arrive at, your destiny is set forever. I told you a while ago that these coupons also have an expiration date on them. I've been embarrassed sometimes by taking a coupon in to have them say, "That expired yesterday." And I have to pay full price. That's why the Bible says now is the day of salvation. Nowhere in the Bible can you show me where God says, I will save you yesterday. Neither does it say, I will save you tomorrow. But it does say that today is the day of salvation. So I urge you today, don't walk out of the store with the coupon still in your shirt pocket or in your purse. Use it. Don't let it expire. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we realize today that we are entirely of 100% dependent upon your grace. There's nothing that we have done and there's nothing that we can do to help you in our redemption. We realize that Jesus paid the price on Calvary when he shed his blood. And today all we can do is accept what you have freely promised us. That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. We thank you for your goodness and grace, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a joy it is to know that we can come to you and claim your promises. Now, many of us have, but I pray today that each and every one of us might examine our hearts to make sure that our sins are forgiven, that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Give us the assurance through the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, that we are saved and on the road to heaven. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. 493.
Number 493. Sing a verse of this invitation this morning. For being here this morning. I appreciate your presence and look forward to seeing you tonight at our evening service at 6 o'clock. Okay? Let's be dismissed in prayer now. Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us, please, in our benediction today?